Look this morning in Philippians chapter number 1. We're going to read for a while. Now, one of the things that my new church is, I preach real short, so I'm done at 12:05. So I'll keep you all till 12:05 today. Just kidding. Some of you are realizing it's only 11. Now, I'll preach short. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27, it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." We're going to look at chapter 2 now. If there be therefore, that's kind of a tongue twister, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man unto his own things, but every man also unto the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. A name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Man, that sounds like America right now. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's pray together this morning. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come back here to Plantation Baptist Church. And Lord, I thank you for the years of ministry that my family and I were able to serve these people. And Lord, these are my friends. These are my beloved. And Lord, I thank you for them. But Lord, I also thank you for your will and your plan. And Lord, sometimes you could take us to the other side of the world. Sometimes it's the other side of the county. But God, I thank you that we are in your perfect will, and we praise you for that. Lord, but the hour today is for me to speak here at this church, and help me to be a blessing. I pray that you help me to encourage us. Lord, we're kind of scared as believers. And Lord, there's no reason to be scared. I pray that you will not come back soon, God. God, I pray that you'll tarry, because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, I pray that we will not be apocalyptic in our thinking, but God, we'll be evangelistic in our thinking. And I pray that you help us today by your teaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, I been watching the news. Things are getting bad in America. And I really believe, I will say this, I think that America has gone past a point of no return. And it's not the Supreme Court decision of last week or a couple weeks ago. I believe America, especially with the millennial generation, the millennials are a generation just a little bit younger than me. And with that generation, whatever happened to that, and those young kids, you know, the millennials, things have changed. And I believe the millennial generation is a godless generation. It's a generation that has turned from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And though some of the greatest amounts of work trying to reach that generation, I believe it's truly failed. And I believe as that generation moves in a little bit older and as they take power, America is completely cut off from its moorings. I truly believe that within 20, 30 years, as the millennial generation takes control, we are going to see just things that will blow our minds. The depravity of the gay and lesbian community is not going to stop, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse and worse. And I believe the atheism is on the rise in the United States. And communism, our enemies, we have done to ourselves what our enemies could never have. And it's very dangerous. The Bible says that in the end days that there'll be perilous times. There'll be savage seasons. The days are going to get worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And so what is our response as believers in a post-Christian America? Now, I've been watching the last couple days and watching how people have been handling, especially this last decision about the gay marriage in America. And I've been seeing the response, and there's a lot of... it blows my mind. This is one of the things where it really shows me how post-Christian America is. My unsaved friends are angry at the Supreme Court decision. And then I see a bunch of Christians defending it, and they're putting love wins on their Facebook, and they're putting rainbow pictures. And it disgusts me that I had one friend on Facebook write a lengthy article in a blog and basically describe that if you don't support gay marriage and you don't go to your gay friend's wedding and you don't support that fully, then you actually aren't saved because you're a legalist and you believe in works salvation. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, wow, what a moron. And I'm seeing how things are defended in America that God has truly said is an abomination. Now, how are we going to respond? Because it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse in Christianity. How are we going to handle the decline of Christianity in America? Well, I will say this. Number one, we need to understand, this is not part of the message, this is my introduction. I do want to tell you this, that with the decline of Christianity in the West, it means there's a rise of Christianity somewhere else. Statistically, 5,000 people every day in Europe and North America, 5,000 people leave the churches in the United States and Europe. In the country of China alone, 25,000 people come to Jesus Christ every single day. Every single day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this. If America rejects God, Christianity's not going to stop. You know, it's not that the church of Jesus Christ is going to fade in its existence and fade in its influence in this world. We can be a little bit arrogant when we think that the American face is the face of Christianity when it's actually an African face. When it's actually an Asian face. And we need to understand that the gospel is not going to stop. And the church is not going to stop. The problem is, do we want to be linked up with the church of Jesus Christ? Do we want to be a part of it? And I truly want to encourage you today and give you some guidance out of Philippians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2 of what you and I are supposed to do in a post-Christian America. Now, America may be post-Christian, but that's the best flag in the world. Amen? You know, I tell people, listen, I live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. When you land on the moon, you can say it too. Okay, when you have the most powerful military in the world, when you have the greatest freedom, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to hide to come to church today. We live in freedom. We live in prosperity. And I don't care how much we can complain and get scared. We still live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And I want to keep a little louder. Amen. Amen. All right, that's better, all right? You guys are a little nervous, all right? Well, let me tell you something. We live in a great nation. We live in a country that's worth fighting for. It's a country worth dying for. It's a country making our enemies worth dying for. You think of it that way. Some of you military men understand that. Listen, we live in a great country. And we live in a country that yes, it's going to get worse. So what are we going to do? Are we going to hunker down? Are we going to bunker ourselves? Are we going to get a little compound? Are we going to complain? Or are we going to be aggressive and try to do what God has for us? You know, I look in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27. This is the first thing we have to do in a post-Christian America. First thing we have to do is get our minds right. You ever heard tell somebody, man, you got to get your head on straight. You ever say that to somebody? My wife says that to me sometimes. She says, you got to get your mind right. We have to get our minds right. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries." We've got to get our minds right, ladies and gentlemen. We have to think properly. The Bible says in verse 27, the first little phrase in there, it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ." Now, when we think of the word conversation, we think of our what? Our talk. But really, in the Bible, conversation means talk, but also means our lifestyle. It means our choices. It's like our talk and our walk. Lord, let my talk and my walk. So my talk and my walk, you know, you ever I don't know, that's an old song from the kids. It must be really old. Maybe I just listen to weird music in Sunday school. Something about your talk and your walk, and make sure that you're serving God with both. But it says, let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we advance in post-Christian America? How do we reach people in post-Christian America? It's by making sure that our walk matches what we are. Acting like a Christian. There's a lot of Christians that don't act like Christians. There's a lot of us, and there's time to time. Well, listen, Pastor Jay, do you always act like a Christian? No way. Okay, ask my wife, ask my kids, ask some of you. Okay, so you've seen some unchristian things come from me. But you know what? As a general rule, we need to ask God to help us be believers that walk according to what we are. You know, if you're a child of God, then act like it. If you're a child of God, live like it. The Bible says that it's God it's His will that everyone that nameth the name of Christ departeth from iniquity. If we're sinful, if we're just lying in the pig pen of sin, and we're a sheep, we're children of God, a child of God, and we're laying in the pig pen, there's no reason for us to live there. And we've got the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from our sin. We've got the Holy Spirit who lives in our heart that frees us from our sin. And we don't have to live that way. In America, the Christianity in America will completely fade out if we don't get our minds right. If we don't realize that we have to get our lifestyle to be as it becometh the gospel, that reflects the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fast forward a little bit in the verse. It says this, that ye stand fast in one spirit. With one mind. We need to stand fast. We need to stand together. You know, football season's coming. I love football. You guys excited about the Dolphins? We'll pray over them. Maybe a little. But a team is only as good as its offensive line. Okay, you can have the best. Tom Brady, he can be, he's probably the best quarterback. I don't know why he has to cheat all the time. But it's pretty good. All right. I hope Ed's not in here. Okay. But he needs an offensive line. You can have a great running back. You can have all the best receivers in the world. But if you don't have a line that stands fast, that as the enemy is approaching, the opposition's approaching, if they don't plant themselves and they don't stand fast, if they just kind of, I'm going to check out. I don't need to come to church today. I don't need to be on the field today. I don't need to do my best on this play. Then they're going to get creamed. That's probably what happens with the Dolphins sometimes. You know, you have to stand fast. You have to dig in. You have to dig in and be strong. This is not the time to retreat, ladies and gentlemen. This is the time to dig in. This is the time to get bold. This is the time to not check out of church, but it's a time to add a service. It's the time to find a ministry. Why? Because the days are getting dark. You need to dig in. You need to stand fast. The Bible says that you need to stand fast in one spirit with one mind. That means unity. There's fighting in our church, then it's going to be powerless at Plantation Baptist Church. My church, at Grace Baptist Church, it's a wounded people. And hurt people, they do what? Hurt people. And so I'm trying to create an environment where there's forgiveness and reconciliation. Why? Because if they don't stand together with one mind and one spirit, then they're going to be powerless and we're going to be wasting our time. So, you know, it's like this. Do we have friction with people? Yeah, you have friction with your spouse, okay? You don't always get along with your spouse, with your kids. Guess what? An engine has friction, a lot of moving parts, a lot of metal grinding. But what's the thing that keeps it from blowing up? It's the what inside? It's the oil. The oil kind of keeps everything moving. You know what's the oil for the church? It's love. It's love. Look down in chapter 2, verse number 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what? Like-minded, having the same what? Being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. It's not all about me, it's about you. That's the attitude we need to have at Plantation Baptist Church, Grace Baptist Church also. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Don't be so self-centered. If we're this self-centered Christianity, then we're going to be powerless. You know what? It's going to get worse. In America, the Christianity is going to fade. But if we get our minds right, where we realize, listen, my life has to be equal with what I claim to be. And I need to stand fast with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And yes, you know what? They annoy me. But guess what? You don't have to like everybody. You just have to love everybody. Amen? All right. As my wife says that. You know, I don't have to love. No, I'm just kidding. But you have to do that. You have to love one another. You have to stand fast. You need one another. And when there's conflict, when there's discord, then it robs the church of the power of God. And it robs our effectiveness in the nation. The Bible says this at the end of that verse, verse 27. It says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That word striving together is the word that we get athletics from. It's teamwork. We have to together be a team in order to advance the what? What does it say? Striving together for the what? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Together, Plantation Baptist Church needs to, like a team, work together to advance the gospel. You know, in a military world, Rambo, he lasts about 10 seconds. SEAL Team 6, they get Osama bin Laden. You see, the difference is one person being as aggressive as they can, and they get burned out. They do what they can, and it's only one person. But you take a bunch of Rambos together, and then you can do something great. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to strive. We need to strive together for the faith of the gospel. The gospel, reaching people for Jesus Christ, needs to be our priority. It needs to be our main thing. So all these other things that are kind of like, well, this is my little pet project here, and this is my little pet belief here, and those things don't matter. Because with the team together, we're working together for the faith of the gospel, to reach this world for Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday I had a great opportunity. We were with some friends, and I was talking to a neighbor of some friends of mine, and they're from India. And I sat down with them and spent an hour with them and just talking with them. And I said, you know, I'm Christian. What do you? You're from India. Are you Muslim? Are you Hindu? And they said, we're Hindu. And they do not know Jesus Christ. And I sat there and I thought, man, I want to reach these people. I want to reach these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel is the glorious gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it's the truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I want them to hear that message, and I want them to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Can you imagine that if we all together saw our community where our hearts burned for the lost, and we wanted them to come to know Jesus Christ, and we work together for that end, do you think that we'll accomplish some of those things? We will. You'll reach people. You'll reach people. You have to do 3 services on Sunday. Right? You're going to reach a lot of people. That's how you got to get your minds right, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get your minds right in this post-Christian America. Look at verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Okay, the rainbow flag doesn't scare me. doesn't. Really doesn't. Unless you're a preacher, or unless you own a bakery, then they can't do anything to you. Okay, just so you know that. Everybody's so scared, oh, we're going to lose our freedom. Listen, I may go to jail. If they do force me to do one of those weddings, it'll be one they'll never forget. I promise you that. So, I already came to that conclusion. If I'm forced, I'm going to preach out of Romans 1. that'll make the news. They don't scare us, really. All right, we have brothers and sisters in Christ where they're crucifying their children today. They crucify little kids in Iraq and Syria. Okay, and we're scared about a rainbow flag. Okay, Americans, we're always fearful of things. We're terrified. We're like sheep. You talk to people from other countries, and they're like, "You really? You're scared about an economic collapse? We starve." You know, we would love to have what you would have in an economic collapse. We would give everything to have losing everything. We're always scared. The Bible says, "In nothing terrified, nothing terrified." What if we do lose our freedom? Is that going to stop Jesus? Is that going to stop the church? My family's are my family were Russians. They had troops come into churches and take the pastors and leadership and send them to Siberia. That didn't stop them. There's nothing to be terrified about, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Amen. Get your mind right. We're all scared. Oh, we're not terrified. I'm not scared of them one bit. Let's move on. Let's do the second reason why we need to handle post-Christian America. Look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to remember who our master is. Okay? Christianity is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about our church. It's not about America. It's about Jesus. And we sometimes forget who He is. Sometimes we get all scared and we look at political things and we look at the degradation of culture, but then we look at the problem, but we don't look at the solution. Maybe I'll just read this and maybe give very little comment. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Jesus is God's Son. Do you believe that? Amen. He is the Son of God. He is part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He is God. He is our Master. But then it says this, "He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Jesus came to earth, and I don't know what the world population was. Let's say 1 billion. It was 1 billion to 1. He's walking in this earth, and He's the sinless Son of God, and He was in complete hostile territory. Everybody hated Him. He only found a few handful of people that believed in Him. His brothers, His half-brothers. I did a study of James. James might have been the half-brother of Jesus. And he didn't even believe in Him. And you think about this. You think about how He came to this earth completely outnumbered. But He was the Son of God. With Jesus and you make a what? Majority. Majority. We don't have to worry about America because of Jesus. He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, "In being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death," even the death of the what? Cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is the most powerful thing in all the universe. Why? Because you can have all the money, all the military strength, all the political power. You can have it all. Without the gospel, you cannot change one heart. Instead of trying to make laws, we need to make disciples. A law is not going to change the heart of man. Only the gospel, only the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ can change the heart. Why do you believe that, Jay? Because it changed my heart. And it changed your heart. You give the gospel, it will change a person. It'll change their life. Why? Because of who Jesus is. Verse number 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. And everybody that rejects him will still someday say, Jesus Christ, you are Lord. Someday the devil will bow his knee and say, Jesus, you are Lord. Every one of us, whether on this side of eternity or on the other side of eternity, we will say, Jesus, you are Lord. And you better make sure that you surrender to him now, because on the other side, it's too late. You better make sure that you've trusted Jesus Christ and believed on him and given him your heart and your soul and your life and have submitted to him, because he is Lord. We forget that Jesus Christ is Lord. We forget that. We forget who he is. We get all scared. Oh, America's falling away. Guess what? Jesus is still the Lord. He's still on the throne. You know, in the last, right here on the end, well, it's the concordance, but right here at the end of the book, it says he wins. He wins. Hope you believe that. That should settle you a little bit. Remember who our master is. Let's go down to our last point here in verse number 15. We don't need to just get our minds right. We don't just need to remember who our master is, but we need to recommit to the mission that our master gave us. If you look in verse number 14, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. America's crooked and perverse. Among whom, not out of whom, but among whom we live. I thank God I live in this crooked and perverse nation. Do you think God you live in this nation? As crooked and perverse as it is, there's other nations that are crooked and perverse, and I'm glad I don't live there. But I'm glad I live in this one. Among whom you walk every day. Every day you're out there. Every day you hear the language. Every day you hear the stories. Every day you go to that work and they're there. And every day they make fun of you. They think you're weird or in some cult. And they look at you and they may mock you. They may remove opportunities from you. But God has you there. And what's your mission? Right, why are you there? Well, it says here, among whom you shine as what? Lights. You shine as lights in this world. You know, Christianity thrives in darkness. Christianity, it fades in positive atmosphere, in a positive environment. It does. You know the good old days? I don't know what the good old days were. Kind of always been bad, okay? Really look at it. Okay, we think, oh, back in the good old days, everybody, there was just, listen, it was just as wicked. Maybe not broadcasted as much, but hearts were the same, okay? And to realize that as darkness grows, that's the opportunity for the light to shine brighter. It's the opportunity for you to be a greater witness. You know, it's kind of funny. My wife and I, we were praying really serious about going to China to be missionaries. We wanted to do that more than anything. And God shut that door. And so I was very discouraged. And the first day at Grace, me and Camden came to work together. We were packing my office. We went up to the altar at the beginning of the day just to start off right. We prayed. And we said, God, I pray that you will, you know, we don't know why and how and the reason why you brought us to this place. We thought it was somewhere different. But will you reconfirm to us and encourage us and to show us a token of good today that we are on your perfect will? So I'm on my job for 3 hours, ladies and gentlemen. I'm on my new job for 3 hours and wanted to go to Asia to reach the Asians for Christ. Knock on my door. It's two South Koreans. And they say, hey, Brother Jay, I know we're so-and-so, we're a local body, we're looking for a place to meet maybe on Sunday afternoons. And I'm familiar with that, being a Russian, and we had Russian church. And so they said, would you like to go and meet our pastor? So he comes a little bit later that day. It's like 4 hours into my job, and he's sitting down. He's like, so-and-so, and they kind of like faith. And he goes, you know, we take missions trips. My ears went, whoa, okay, really? Where do you go? We go to South Korea. We go to North Korea. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, tell me more. And, you know, it's amazing how he was saying, you know, I was talking with him. I was saying, you know, I know that in that country that if you have a Bible, you go to prison, your parents go to prison, your children go to prison. And they said, yeah, that's true. They go, we don't go in. Now, one of our people on our team is in the prison there. So he said, don't bring your Bible. But they go under the guise of humanitarian missions, like Franklin Graham goes over there, and they preach the gospel to these people there under tremendous persecution. But in that country, the church is very small. Reading stories about how in the prison camps in that country, the Christians meet in the bathrooms, in the outhouses, because the guard, it's so disgusting, the guards don't go there. And they stay away from there. But they go in those camps and they're powerful meetings. And people are being saved by the thousands in a prison camp in the most oppressive nation on the face of the earth. It's dark there, but the light shines bright. It's getting dark here, but it's the opportunity for our light to shine. Verse number 16, it says, holding forth the word of life. It's not just a thing to shine, but then you take the word of God and then you hold it forth. You hold it out. And you tell people, this is the good truth of God. Do you believe this book is true? I don't care what nine justices say. I don't care what Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner said. I don't know whether, whatever. What in the world? All right. Dad, we they had a thing for him on Father's Day. I'm like, what? We're not in Kansas anymore, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't care what those people say. It's what this book says. We need to not be afraid of this book. There's a lot of things that, listen, they're going to want to outlaw this next. Because it's hateful. Okay? Guess what? We're going to stand on this, and we're going to unashamedly hold this forth, because this has the answer. This tells us about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. If our brothers and sisters are risking the death of their families to have it, then we in this free nation, we need to hold this forth. We need to hold this forth. I do, you do. You know, in America, it's going to get dark, but Christianity thrives in darkness. Why? Because our light shines. We can take this powerful word. I believe, I will say this, I don't think the Church of America is going to get bigger. I think it's going to get more powerful. I think it's going to become more effective. I don't think the Joel Osteens. I don't go here anymore, so I can say anything I want now. The Joel Osteens and those big ministries and those real popular pop culture ministries, that's the fluff. But the core, it's going to get powerful. It's going to get real. It's going to be life-changing. And instead of being afraid and backing away, we need to get our minds right. We need to remember our master, and then we need to remember that mission that our master gave us, to be a light, to hold forth the word of life, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Let's pray together.